I'm Marianne Kolbasuk-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Hugo Lai, who is CISO of Temple University Health System. We're here at the HealthSec Conference in Boston, where Hugo is a speaker. Hi, Hugo.
Hi, Marianne.
So, Hugo, you were on a panel this morning, and we're going to discuss some of the topics that came up. First of all, based on what you're seeing, what are the most pressing cybersecurity threats to patient data today? How are these threat actors evolving their tactics? And any lessons learned from any recent breaches that sort of come to mind?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think recently, you know, what we've seen is that, you know, adversaries are not only just like locking up your data, but it's also extracting your data, you know, and ask for ransom payment as well. So it's like some sort of a double extortion in a way. They recognizing that healthcare organizations are more prepared, you know, and better protect themselves from ransomware. So, you know, what they typically do nowadays is that they extract a copy of that data and then try to ransom you for that payment. Yeah. And they're also being more strategic about that too, right? And what they would do is that they will actually reach out to your patients, you know, maybe even reaching out to your board members, right? And make sure that they're communicating, they're saying that, hey, I actually get a copy of your data, right? So it's getting quite interesting out there now. Yeah.
And so that, with that said, you know, how are you approaching prevention against these sorts of attacks, these kinds of extortion scams, and how does this really work in other organizations that might be under-resourced with IT? Your organization versus, you know, some other organizations, like, what do you see as some of the differences for some of the maybe the smaller entities out there, as well as some of the larger entities? Like, do the challenges differ much, and how you try to attempt to prevent these sort of things from happening?
Well, I think, you know, it's a common theme, right? Like, the security budget is not getting larger. I think you just have to make sure that you're understanding where you're spending, right? Understanding your security program's gap. So each organization is different, so having that understanding is going to help you to figure out, you know, where you want to maximize your investments, right? Your security investments. But I'll say that, you know, one of the area that we have seen that are typically underinvest, or, you know, it's identity. So, and a lot of the adversaries nowadays, you know, obviously they're still going to, you know, come at you, you know, using like a zero-day vulnerability, things like that. But I think they are going back to phishing, right, and try to target, you know, the identities within your organizations. And they may even, you know, look for vulnerable employees, you know, internally within your organizations or third-party vendor, because they know that, you know, these are the folks that who already have access, you know, to your environment. So spending security and identity, I think that's a good way, you know, to close some of these gaps.
And specifically with identity, what sorts of technologies are you kind of keeping your eyes on right now?
So I think identity verification is one of the area that a lot of healthcare organizations that should be focusing on, particularly, you know, when we look at the breaches that happened in the past, like 12 months or so, Scatter Spider, a lot of these groups, they are targeting your service desk, right, and try to impersonate your employee's identity to reset the passwords. That's how they gain access to your system. So, you know, making sure that you have a robust identity verification process in place, not only just for your service desk, but also try to help your organization to understand some of the business processes out there that also relies on a robust identity verification, right? Whether that is, you know, updating your employees' direct deposits information or payers, right? Like your banking or routing information, right? Like, if that needs to be updated, do you have a robust process to make sure that, you know, it is authorized and indeed coming from an individual that is internal within your organization?
Now, to what extent can a zero trust security model and advanced threat detection solutions help safeguard electronic health records?
Right. So I think Zero Trust is a great framework to adopt. And I think there's a lot of potential in there. I think the challenge about Zero Trust is that it's very difficult to implement correctly and with the efficiencies that you're expecting, because the narrower that you get down, sure, you get better protection, but at the same time, it comes at a cost, right? So you have to really find that a right balance. But it is indeed, you know, like zero trust or network segmentations, I think it's some of the foundational security controls that the organization should have, so that in case you get breached, right, like you're contained to a smaller environment. Yep.
So now everyone is talking about AI, and the discussion a little while ago on the panel was talking about AI basically kind of boiling down to data sharing. You know, you're sharing it with these large language models, you know, with you know, all the other sort of tools that are being developed. How challenging is that right now, you know, within a hospital environment where you do have all sorts of users, whether it's, you know, the clinicians, it's the administrators, mm-hmm. you know, for a university like yours, it's a, you know, it's a university health system. You have students, you have med students. What are some of the challenges in terms of, you know, protecting the data that, you know, some of these departments or users do want to share or, you know, want to tap into for AI use?
Yeah, I think that it's not so much of an AI issue. It's more about, you know, educating your researchers, your clinicians out there, whenever that they are sharing data, right? Like they have a business associate agreement, you know, particularly if it's, you know, PHI related. And it's really no different, right? Like even, you know, without the AI days, right? When you're sharing data on the internet, it's the same thing, right? Like you have to make sure that, you know, the recipients, you know, have a need to know, right? So the basics are the same. I think right now when you're adding AI to it, it's just that some of the problems becomes more obvious, or it becomes actually easier, you know, for your attacker. So for example, like, you know, using some of the AI, you know, for business, for back office, you know, processes, right? It all goes back to the access model, right? Like whether you're actually securing that data, you know, to only authorized individuals. But the only difference nowadays is that now your AI model have access to the same data. And all you need to do is, like, you just need to ask that questions instead of, you know, doing the testing. So I think that's the only difference in there.
You go looking ahead, what are one or two of your top cyber priorities or projects this year that you're focused on?
Yeah, identity, like I mentioned, it's going to be a key area. And there's a lot, you know, within identities that we can do, privilege access management, identity verifications, you know. So those are the top ones that we want to continue to invest and make better improvements on. The other area is segmentation or zero trust, like you mentioned. You know, those are some of the key controls that we want to make sure that we're implementing in the next 12 months or so.
And finally, one last question. The panel also touched upon this. What are the special challenges right now with biomedical devices? You know, the FDA has sort of been ramping up the approval process for pre-market devices when it comes to cyber, but, you know, you still have the legacy products out there. What are, you know, the top challenges that you're dealing with right now when it comes to the medical devices, biomedical devices, and any tips for how other entities might consider approaching that?
Yeah, so I think this is a organization strategy, right? From a cyber perspective or from an IT perspective, I think the biggest challenge that we have is dealing with non-standardized vendors or equipment. So I shouldn't say like non-standardized, but you have like way too many vendors or equipments out there. Even for the same type of devices, you may have different models or different manufacturers, you know, that offer the same functionality. So it adds a lot of complexity, you know, to the architecture when you're bringing in, you know, different types of devices, you know, unnecessary complexity, you know, to the organization. And it also makes it harder to service, right, these equipments. So I think those are the typical challenges that we have seen.
Well, thank you, Hugo. I've been speaking to Hugo Lai. I'm Mary Ann Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.